Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome again to Lehem Panim. You know, being a pastor for almost a decade, I've read a lot about church growth. The different kinds of growth, what healthy growth looks like, how it happens, etc. And one of the things that any church growth book that's worth its salt will tell you is that there's a difference between the organizational structure of a small church and that of a large church. And though an organizational model may have worked out great when a church first started out, that doesn't necessarily mean that it will continue to be the best model moving forward. For instance, in every church that I've pastored, I have always been the primary source of pastoral care. I've been the one to visit people in the hospitals, to visit them in their homes, to serve them communion, perform the funerals, all those kind of things. And that's fine when your church is small. But let's say a church grows to 200, 300 people. Well, that pastor better not be the only source of pastoral care for that congregation because, first, there's too many people for him to be able to give quality care to. And second, it's going to take away from his sermon preparation time, his prayer time. It's going to rob him of time with his family. And fourth, he's just going to eventually, honestly, get burned out and probably leave the ministry. Churches have to change as they grow. Because if that change doesn't take place, they are going to cease to remain effective and stable. Now, in today's passage here in Acts chapter 6, we see that the early church is starting to face problems. And that wasn't necessarily a bad thing. I don't know if when you were young you ever experienced growing pains or not. I know I did. My bones would just ache for no apparent reason. And it often happens when you're just growing really fast. My son now, he has the same thing going on in his body. But it's not bad pain, it's good pain. And you're always stronger, more physically mature on the other side of it. Well, the same was true here of the church in Acts chapter 6. You have thousands upon thousands of people coming to faith in Christ. They're joining the church. And as with any organization, the system which worked fine when the organization was smaller, it didn't scale up. Remember, the church is growing at an incredible rate. Early on, they were able to keep track of the church numbers just fine. We see that they keep track of the number of converts in chapter 2, verse 41, the number of members in chapter 4, verse 4. But even then, those figures only represent the men. And now the church has grown beyond count. And according to some estimates, it was probably around 20,000 people at this point. And so the apostles, they're finding it increasingly difficult to minister to everybody. The old structure wasn't working. And so it's no surprise that it says in verse 1, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution." Now, up until this point, there had been many ways that Satan had sought to cripple Christ's church. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 31, and chapter 5, verses 17 to 41, he had tried persecution. But that only caused the church to grow faster, because they responded to that persecution in the right way. Next, Satan, in chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, he tried to introduce sin into the body of Christ in and through Ananias and Sapphira. But the church immediately, with God's full backing, dealt with that sin. And so now Satan tries a third tactic, dissension. You know, there's a story of two battleships that met in the night and began to attack each other. And in the conflict, a number of crewmen were severely wounded, and both vessels were damaged. But as daylight broke, the sailors on both the ships, they discovered to their amazement that both vessels were flying the English flag. You know, sometimes it's easy to forget that we're on the same team, even when we might not see eye to eye. And Satan, he can often use the smallest of issues, like the one in this passage, to divide the church. And so was the threat in our passage today. Because the issue here in this passage, it had the potential to create a lot of division in the church. The word here used to describe the first group of people is Hellenists. And here that term, it's referring to Greek-speaking Jews from other nations who had come to Palestine. Now, the second description, the description Hebrews here, is referring specifically to the residents of Palestine. And they could speak both Aramaic and Greek and often Hebrew. But most of these Jews from outside, they may not have been able to speak Aramaic or Hebrew. And they used the Septuagint, which was a Greek version of the Hebrew Bible, rather than the Hebrew scriptures. Now, they remained loyal to Judaism, but at the same time, they had absorbed some of their surrounding Greek culture. And so that made them suspect to the Palestinian Jews, especially the Pharisees. But they were a minority in the church, which helps explain why their needs were overlooked. Now, care for widows was a traditional part of Jewish society. Clear instructions for their care was given in numerous places in the book of Deuteronomy. God cares about widows, which is why he made sure that the law laid out very specific guidelines for their care. And because at this point, Christianity was mainly a Jewish phenomenon, this by default, it carried over into the early church. Paul, in 1 Timothy 5:33, he clearly defines care for widows as being one of the chief responsibilities of the church. And so the church, it had to deal with this problem of these Hellenist widows being overlooked in the daily distribution, which was an outflow of what you remember happened in Acts 4:32, where we saw how the church came together to pool their resources to help any that were in need. Now, if a church is biblical, it's always going to align itself with what the Holy Spirit is already doing. It will meet God where he is, rather than trying to pull him into their own organization and structure. Does that make sense? And God is interested in the needs of people, every need, no matter what it is. And so the true church is always characterized by a willingness to respond to the needs of people. That's why most of our hospitals have names like St. Mary's or St. John's or names like that. Because people who are truly awakened by Christ are awakened to the needs of the world and have in their hearts an awakening of love that drives them to meet those needs. Now, hospitals have structure, but it is structure that's adaptable to meet the needs of people, or at least it ought to be. Well, the same with a church. The needs of people ought not to conform to the structure of the church. The structure of the church needs to conform to the needs of people. You know, one of the things that impressed us about our kids' school was how quickly they adjusted when COVID-19 hit. I mean, they didn't even miss a beat. They recognized the needs of the children for an unbroken education experience, and they immediately switched to an online format that, honestly, even at its early stages, was very solid. But you know, it's no coincidence that the school was born out of and is an intimate part of a thriving church. The church is thriving because of its adaptability to the needs of people, and therefore so also was the school. And similarly, those churches that are doing the best during these COVID times are not those who said, you know, we're either going to meet in person or not at all, but rather there are those that immediately recognized that the needs of people were going to change very dramatically because of this epidemic and were therefore willing to adjust the way they did church in order to meet those needs. Now, I'm happy to say our church was one of those churches. Right off the bat, we had online giving set up and running. our church went online, our messages went online, our website was upgraded. And, you know, though we had to make some very tough decisions as a leadership team, we made them. And not only did we maintain, but we even grew our numbers during that time. And that's been the experience even of churches that were willing just to make the bare minimum of changes. You know, our leadership here at Renton Park Chapel didn't see COVID as just something to get through. No, we saw it as God's means of doing something new in His church. And because we strived to bring ourselves alongside what God was doing and is still doing, He saw fit to bless us. And that has been the experience of many churches. Now, what's true of the church as a whole is also true of the individual. The people who make the best church members, the best parents, the best friends, the best employees, the best co-workers, are those men and women who are malleable and shapeable in God's hands, who can take a hit without floundering, and who are able to stand firm even when things get messy. And churches that are going to be most effective at reaching the lost are those churches that are filled with people who are flexible. Because let me tell you, lost people are not always pleasant to be around. They may not act nice, they may not look nice, they may not even smell nice. And they'll often drag all their brokenness, all their garbage, right into the church. I remember a number of years ago, a man came into the church I was pastoring at that time, drunk. He hadn't bathed in who knows how long, and he smelled to high heaven. But he came, he sat in the back pew, and it wasn't a pleasant experience to be around him. And you know how it is when an outsider like that comes, people are somewhat disturbed. They're wondering what's gonna happen, how is all this gonna play out? And it is disturbing and disrupting when somebody like that comes. Because we want our services to be nice, neat, and distraction-free. And sometimes we just don't know what to do. And we may wonder, you know, why is that guy here? But do you know why that man came? He had come because his mother had just died. In fact, I had just done her funeral. And he wanted to visit his mom's church. Now, I was proud of how the congregation responded. Yeah, there were some who turned their nose up. There's always two of those. But most were willing to pray for this man and come alongside of him in his grief. And you know, that's the kind of church that God can honor. What we find with Jesus, and we'll see with the disciples here in this passage, is that the mission is always the focus. Never deviating from the task of meeting the physical and spiritual needs of the lost. And so I want to encourage you today, and myself as well, let us not deviate. Let us also keep Christ and His mission central. Let's do so. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.